Welcome to How Can We Help, the podcast advice podcast. Wow, I'm falling apart.
The podcast, comma, advice podcast. Yes.
Hosted by two people who are not accredited doctors or therapists, nor are we particularly good at giving advice.
We are also not particularly responsible or smart.
But one of us has years of therapy and started taking anxiety medication this year, and the other one is a freewheeling rogue.
A freewheeling rogue that has never had 1 minute of therapy or help in any way, and no one's ever helped me do anything, actually. I've had to do everything myself, and I feel really sick.
Yeah. So if you want bootstraps advice...
from a couple of unlicensed, uncredited, unaccredited, uncouth, and unwieldy.
And unwell.
And very unwell.
Individuals, you've come to the right place. And with us this week is our guest advisor and star of the Canadian television scene.
Mover and shaker.
Yes, in the scene.
You've seen him in his classic dog suit as Rex in Hudson and Rex. You've seen him in his classic horse suit as one of the horses in Heartland.
And one of the horses also in Murdoch Mysteries. Yeah.
They move me around a lot. They love that I can keep a flat back.
Yes. And this is the famously flat-backed Jordan Foisey. Welcome, Jordan. Everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
You've never gone to therapy?
Not even a second or a shred.
Isn't that so hard to believe?
It's both. No. When you think about it.
Why does anybody believe me so fast when I tell them that?
Honestly, because normally I'm like, I don't know if this is immediately off topic, but most people I'm like, yeah, you should go to therapy. Like I'm like one of those people. I'm like, I think everyone should give it a shot, but I will honestly say, Jackie, I think you're fine.
Thank you so much.
I don't think you need it.
I couldn't disagree less.
You don't spend as much time with me as Mark.
Well, I will say this. I think Jackie is fine, better than most could hope for. But I also think she would get more out of therapy than almost anyone.
Because she is fine. She's starting at a good spot.
Well, because, no, but...
No, he means because I'm so sick.
Well, because because you're so eager to express what's wrong and to seek solutions.
He's calling me an oversharer as well.
Well, I would say you're an eager sharer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You're not repressed
at all.
In a way that, like, your issues, you could get to the bottom of them quick.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yes.
And you could find solutions quick, or like tactics, or at the very least, you could think about them with a bit more clarity,
right?
Because you'd be discussing them with someone who can give you good advice back, and not just like a friend at a bar,
yeah,
who might not know what the fuck they're talking about,
and might be even part of my problem. meaning the bar is a big problem of mine.
Yeah.
That's so funny you say that, because the other day I was, eagerly sharing with Mark that I was really, really hungover one day last week. And I was really, I get really paranoid about being hungover. And I get really ashamed. I get super ashamed. And I was telling him how ashamed I was of how hungover I was. And I was worried that because we were going to be working together later in the week, I was worried that this was my psychotic ramblings to Mark. I was like, oh my God. And then I was really paranoid while I was hungover that, like, when we worked together later in the week, I'd be really dumb and I'd ruin a bunch of my brain cells, and that you were going to know why I did, because you knew that I was really hungover and that I was drunk. And I was like, blah, blah, blah. And Mark was like, Jackie, this is way too much. He's like, why do you think that you're not allowed, like everyone else is, to like have fun and be hungover? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just not.
So it sounds to me like you're getting secondhand.
Yeah.
You're getting his therapy runoff.
I'm getting everyone's therapy runoff. I'm basically like a drainage bucket. I'm like a rainwater bucket.
Yeah, whatever little bit kind of like plops off there, bro.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, Jackie's like a little mouse catching a bead of raindrop off my forehead and drinking it like a full...
I like to do that. I'm doing like, I have like a really expensive therapist right now.
Oh, ooh la la.
He's like $250.
What do you mean $250? Are you serious?
Yeah. And I'm starting to spread it out because I'm in a pretty good spot like right now. And so a couple of them have ended with him being like, it's like, so what are you doing later this week, kind of thing? And it's like, all right. But I am doing like, I like doing like, I'm basically
in the background, you just hear a fucking cash register. Yeah.
I'm like, could you take the register out of the office, please? But I like doing trickle down therapy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, all right, I'll start dropping some of these 250 bon mots or bon mots
around on with me, my please, friends.
Yeah,
on
please,
me.
If you want any. You, yeah. If you want one, I, okay, I guess, time. Or I can save them for the advice.
That's yes, good. Do, oh yeah. My God. This, you're the wow. perfect guest yeah. advisor. You're going to be dropping $250 a session guest knowledge. Yes. This is the you're the caviar. Uh-huh.
You got to put this one behind a paywall.
You want to hear this? 250 straight to Jordan's pocket. Yeah, because
it might be an hour. So yeah, 250, please, up front.
Jordan keeps whispering quid pro quo, quid pro quo.
Yeah. And I've also had bad therapy, too. I had a really bad therapist before this.
And what does that look like?
Well,
$275 a session.
And he didn't ask me what I was doing later that week.
$50.
It was all business. If I pay this much, I want to have a bit of a friend.
Well, the problem with her was that...
hey, you've already said the problem.
Oh, brother.
Fellas.
Yeah, she listened too much.
yeah, once a month she got weird.
Yeah, don't take this the wrong way, but are you on your period?
Are you on my period?
Sorry, Jackie, sorry. And Mark, and to the listener. What the hell was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So she was like $50, but she was also an actor part-time.
Okay, huge red flag.
So big red flag.
Yeah. And so I would never trust an actor to know themselves.
No,
this absolutely is exactly not.
Have you ever seen an Oscars speech? Our greatest actors are the biggest maniacs in the world.
Yeah, you're like, Joaquin Phoenix is an incredible actor. And then he does a speech and you're like, and that's it.
That's exactly why.
That's what he's
good
at.
He's some mud that wished to be a man. Like, how did this happen?
Yeah. She like, because I think part of like, so she was bad because she would kind of craft little narratives. Like it was more like she was doing a character study of me than actually like solving problems and stuff like that. But like, okay, like one thing, because I had kind of a deadbeat dad, also going to be great for advice. And then, and he used to like, he would kind of be like, so I used to like, I want to take a nap around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock often. And she's like, maybe that's because that's when your dad was sleeping, when you'd get home from school and that's when your dad was sleeping. And at the time I was like, yeah, that actually makes sense. Or that's just like when people take naps.
Yeah, that's
like,
an afternoon nap.
That's actually
nap.
Not a crazy time to take. That's not needing an explanation at all.
Yeah.
Like,
you waking up from a nap, looking at your dad and going, I learned this from you. So groggy, wiping sleep out of your eyes.
And then feeling refreshed.
Yeah, feeling so refreshed. I learned this from you and thank you.
This is generational trauma right here. How rested I am.
Yeah,
I'm healed, Dad.
Yeah.
My therapist helped heal me. Yeah.
Well, that's what $50 an hour gets you. Someone that's trying to write a screenplay and do character studies.
I will say this. If your therapist costs $50, they're
you
making
it... You might be a redneck.
They're making it worse.
And
they are
might
making
be
it
a
worse.
Redneck. See, this is why I don't go. This is partly why I don't go, because it's like so expensive. And I'm like, oh, I just like... I'm not that frugal. I'm not like tight and like frugal. But man, like...
I think there's a middle ground, though.
Yeah, between 50 and 200.
A huge middle ground.
There literally is a mathematical middle ground somewhere there.
Yeah, not everyone walks around wearing a gold crown like Jordan here.
Yeah, that just has a picture of my therapist on it.
Yeah. My therapist, when I started with him, I got him through like Ontario Health, that program or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And so when I started, he was technically still like a student or just far enough out of that I was getting like... his kind of like starter rate, which was him on a sliding scale being like, what do you think you can afford, 50 to 90? And I went, 75.
Oh, that's nice of you.
That's nice.
It was nice of me. Yeah. But also, probably could have afforded 90. That's still so cheap by therapy standards. But I was like, 75, please.
No, that's good, because that's a little bit like, hey, I don't want to, I'm not at the bottom here. Like, I can go up a bit, but yeah.
Well, then, coincidentally, several years in, which is like a year ago now, he was like, okay, this is uncomfortable, but I've had to tell all my patients I'm like far enough removed from that I'm now going to have to start charging my standard rate of $125 a session. And I was like, okay. And this is unrelated to that. I promise. This is just very unfortunate timing, but I think I need to stop doing therapy.
Oh, you got fired. He got fired
I stopped doing it.
And
it was completely coincidental. It was just like, it was 6 months into taking my medication. And
you
felt
better.
I was feeling so good. And it was just such bad timing. I didn't want to be like, I don't think you're worth that.
Yeah. Did he prescribe you that? that medication?
No, no, no.
So extra ouch for him then.
Maybe it was a bit of like, but then again, there was something in his eye that was like, you'll be back.
Oh, and
he's
you?
So nice, but like, I think a little bit he was like, yeah, your medication feels good now. Talk to me in 6 months when you're kind of used to
it. But it's also, because I just did that with this guy, and he's really cool. Again, cool. This is the first little dropping, little trickle down. He's always like, I want us to be done. Like, he doesn't want to me to always be seeing him. He's like, eventually, we shouldn't have to see each other all. If we do, what are we doing?
But what I like about it is that, as you've told me, he doesn't say that in a sort of magnanimous, nice way. No. He says it really impatiently.
Yeah, he's like, hurry up. Hurry up, work through it, work through it, work through it. Let's go.
You're not the kind of client I want.
I can't brag about you to my other therapist friends. You're not fucked up enough.
Yeah. I used you to get to Critch. What part of that don't you understand?
Oh my God, imagine that lockbox. There's no way you could open that up. There's no goddamn way. Good luck.
Oh, I like it when we get so Canadian on this podcast.
We often do.
Frankly, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's nice.
Envy us.
Yeah. We live in a lovely country.
Lovely country where everyone gets what they deserve.
Yes.
And no less and no more.
And no more. Definitely no more.
Play your cards right and you might get a book.
I remember when a guy I worked for, a famous Canadian comedian, bragged that he was writing a book and he'd never even read one.
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny. I assume I know who it is. Like, you should put it in a metaphor. Dude, that's like playing fucking hockey and you're like, I don't need, I never played, but I think I'll
be. I got invited to the team.
But it is crazy when you go, like, it's crazy when you go to the bookstore now, like if you go to like an Indigo or Chapters though, and it is like, man, every fucking person gets a goddamn book. There's a book by Roz right now.
Yeah, it's called A Little Bit Broken.
A Little Bit Broken.
I mean, I feel like we maybe didn't even give it enough context.
Roz
Jordan,
and Mocha.
Would you like to explain who Roz and
Mocha
are?
Well, I think maybe because I'm less familiar with them because I wasn't in the GTA as much on their come up, but I guess they're two morning show hosts on like the pop. So Roz and Mocha are two morning show hosts.
They're like a cool version of like a morning zoo.
Yeah, they're like morning
zoo. Like
cool
in radio terms. Not actually cool.
No, not actually cool.
Not classically cool.
And Mocha's, I don't know what else he does. He's predominantly on the host, but Roz is really branched out. I think he's the host of Entertainment Canada now, and he's always kind of around things. And I think the most striking thing about him is he grew a big gray beard, and now he just has this big gray beard, and it's like, he thinks it makes him look sort of like philosophical or something. So he's really working this beard. And now he has this book called, what's it called?
A Little Bit Broken.
A Little Bit Broken.
That's all you need in Canada to get a book deal is a philosophical beard.
And a morning show.
Do you remember when their Subway ads were, it was like how I learned about them. It was Roz and Mocha in the mornings. Mm-hmm. And then it was a picture of Roz and with a question. Is this the most handsome man in Canada?
Really?
So confusing.
That's so confusing.
And then I think it might have been Adam Christie who had.
Yes. It's Adam's bit about it.
Adam's bit. Oh, yeah. But I'm not even thinking of that bit. There was another bit where someone just described that they, underneath it, on that Subway ad, someone had written, no.
It was Mocha?
It's Mocha.
What do you think the chances are of Roz's book becoming a TV show?
Good around here. Chances are good.
A little bit broken. Like the kind of, like, I picture that in like Joker font or like the font that
it
like,
is in Harley Quinn font for sure.
It's like the kind of font you would see on a side of like a Vans sneaker. And everything about it screams like edgy from 2002.
Yes.
It's a very Hot Topic kind of look.
Hot Topic edgy.
Hot Topic edgy for sure.
I mean, it's like associating that with like a 50-year-old man.
That's what's so funny about it. That's what's unbelievable. It's like a Ashley Simpson B-side name.
Oh my God.
And then he's like, but it's me, Roz. Like A Little Bit Broken is for sure.
It's me, Roz.
And if you were wondering if I was broken, Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Like, it's the same kind of vibe and tone that where people, like, if you say something just a slightly outside of the norm, they go, okay, weird.
Yes.
It's like that energy.
Yes.
So boring.
100%. Yes, the most boring man in the world.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at it right
he's
now.
Broken.
Yeah, it's like, it's black and white, but there's some pink on there.
Oh, you haven't seen it? Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to lie. It also reeks of sex pest energy.
Oh yeah, like that whole that whole picture of him is like, sex pest.
I don't like it. It's very uncomfortable.
The pinky ring.
Why would you cover his eyes with the font
yes,
of his
what
book?
The hell
That's uncomfortable.
Is that?
Mm-hmm. What's that song where he goes, "Put the pinky rings up to the sky"? Is that
no move?
Bruno Mars, maybe?
Yeah, that's Bruno Mars.
Put your pinky rings up. Yeah. So maybe Roz has tapped into some Bruno Mars energy.
Sounds like it.
Is Bruno Mars a sex pest?
No. No, I just meant the pinky ring part. Oh. Sorry. I didn't hear the sex. Oh, never mind. I don't mean to impugn Bruno.
No, I love Bruno Mars. I love Bruno Mars.
My girlfriend loves Bruno Mars so much. Oh my God. Can I tell my small Bruno Mars story?
Please.
And then we gotta do some advice.
Yes.
Please. Yes, please.
So you know this story, Jack. Yes. So is that Jackie's? Oh, you're going to love this, Jordan. It's like you were joking earlier, and I don't know if we caught it on the microphones, but like you were joking about how every like joke book joke in the 50s was like a cuck joke.
Yes.
Like it was always
cheated
about
on.
Yeah, a man being cheated on and just having to take it.
Yeah.
I feel like every time I tell a story on this podcast, that's the energy I'm giving up. It's just like social coward,
like
owns man.
Yeah.
Just like spiritual cuck.
Yeah.
If
Dude,
not,
you're just the star of a Playboy joke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or the subject.
The butt.
Yeah,
the
except butt. Like extrapolate from that joke specifics, like the specific like sexual dynamics of that joke to just more of like the spiritual cuck.
Yes. 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 Yes.
So anyway,
just cuck lifestyle, general cuck lifestyle.
Cuck.
So I was at this karaoke night and my girlfriend showed up. And
the one I'm doing.
Oh, yes,
so
I
witnessed this, but I didn't witness the full context of it. And then it really blew my hair back when I heard about it.
Okay.
So she starts singing this Bruno Mars song, which she loves. And she's singing it only because she loves it. It's yeah. that one, I should have bought you flowers. You know that
and
one?
And held your hand.
I don't think I know that
and
one.
And it's like, if I was your man.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's a song about like, oh, I should have done more while I was with you. And now look, you're with someone else.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And it's got
okay.
this line. Now my baby's
okay.
dancing.
Okay, the story builds.
But she's dancing with another man, you know?
Yeah.
And then it gets to this part where it's like, I hope he buys you flowers. That's like the last verse. Anyway, so that's it. So anyway, I've had this kind of like interesting, long-standing, weird relationship with her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Where like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. Just based on how she feels about the situation is like, if she's like, oh, it's fine, then I'll talk to him. And if she's like, fuck that guy, then I'm like, okay, I won't talk to
him
for
a bit.
So anyway, I thought we were in like... Anyway, he's like an interesting guy or whatever. They had a bad relationship. It was very fraught, obviously.
Yes.
So she's singing that song, and I'm just sort of like standing near her, just kind of watching, listening. And then I feel this arm around my shoulder.
No, no, no.
And it's him.
Unfortunately,
and he starts
yes.
like rocking me back and forth.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, and I at first I was like, oh, he's just like, oh, I guess our relationship's on the upswing or whatever.
Yes.
And then I was like, thinking about the lyrics, and I was like, oh God,
is he taking this in? Is he doing the song
yeah.
to you?
Yeah, and is he doing it in a, is he oblivious and it's just coincidental? Like she's singing, like the best worst case scenario would be if he's just like, that's our gal.
Yeah.
But
and
the worst.
I said that's what he was doing because I think he was too drunk to even realize that nuance of what he
that
could have been doing.
That could
fair.
Well be true. The best, yeah. best case scenario is he was just like, hey, buddy,
look
we're pals
at,
now.
Look at our
yeah.
gal,
so
go.
Bad. The worst, worst case scenario is treat her right, my man.
Yeah.
You got a good one up there. You uh-huh. got a good one up
and it's
there.
It's like, yes. we've been together for 8 years. We've lived together for 4.
Or I mean, is it worse if this is the beginning of a plot?
Against
oh,
you.
That's the worst, worst, worst
yes,
case.
That's
scenario.
The worst,
oh,
worst,
yeah.
worst.
This
There's
is
so many
just
tears
like,
of
yeah, he's
scenario.
Hiding in plain
yeah, like he's
sight.
Like, yeah. like, he's like, the race begins.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever.
But I looked up from my computer at this very moment
you're like,
when this
nice.
Was happening. I said that. I was like, I saw them like rocking and arms around each other. And like maybe the next day I'm like, I had no idea that you guys were so close and good friends. That's so progressive.
Yeah. And this is
and
a
Mark
sign
was like,
of how,
actually.
This is a sign of how little Jackie pays attention to the nuances of my facial expression. Because she would have seen the eyes of yeah. caught prey.
Now, okay, Mark, what I'm
you would have seen a rabbit in the snare if you'd looked close at my eyes.
Can you do the face just for us?
That is not subtle.
I should have been looking harder.
Now, Mark, my question is, how did you respond? Because whenever someone puts their arm around me, I never really know what to do. Like, I'm like, do I respond? Did you respond with an arm back, or did you sit there in that horrible? Like,
his arm was around him. I saw it.
At one point, my arm was around his waist.
Yes, that's
like
what I saw.
The girl in the relationship.
Yeah, you're the girl.
I was instantly transformed into the girl.
Oh, damn, dude, this is over. Wrap it up.
I put my hand in his back pocket.
Yeah, call the girlfriend now. It is over. You just got Playboy joked.
So here's our first question.
Oh, and just to let you know, Jordan, these are all anonymous questions that have been submitted to us, like from anonymous.
Really?
Link. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
That's right. And if you want to submit a question yourself to get advice from us, which episode by episode I feel like is less likely, especially after last episode, we basically called a guy an incel repeatedly.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
Yeah. If you want advice from people that riff for an hour, please.
and laugh at your, almost yeah, laugh in, yeah. in the face of your misfortunes. Yeah. It's an anonymous link on my Instagram at Jackie Perico. Mm-hmm. Purely anonymous. We'll never know unless you want us to, you sicko.
Yeah, you can sign it if you want. Okay. I have the feeling that that my bosses are not satisfied with my work, but they never give me critical feedback, even though I've explicitly asked multiple times. I don't want to just keep asking them over and over, but I really sense that there's an issue they're not telling me about, and I'm worried they're just going to fire me without giving me a chance to do better. However, I also do have a little imposter syndrome. Ding, 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 ding. So maybe this is just in my head. I really like my job, and I'm definitely dependent on the income. So this has really been stressing me out. How would you broach this conversation that I think we need to have? Or should I just not bring it up again? Would be happy to hear your perspective.
For sure, you're doing a bad job. Watch out.
Watch out.
Well, first of all, this is a very unique scenario. I've never really heard of the scenario where someone is dependent on the income of their job. So right away, I'm kind of disoriented.
The fact that this person has asked multiple times.
Right.
And they haven't gotten any back would suggest to me. Well, I need a little more details, but
I'm assuming they have gotten something back. But what they've gotten is like, no, it's good. You're good.
Yeah,
you're fine.
Yeah, that's.
But who's to say how that information was being delivered?
Yeah. That's.
Well,
tough.
I think that when they do give feedback, when these bosses finally break under the pressure of all of this questioning, and they do give feedback, the feedback is going to be, you're addicted to bad feedback.
Well, this is the thing.
That's my only complaint about you is you're addicted 100% to bad feedback.
Here at S&M Warehouse. We can't be the M. Yeah.
I do love the idea of it being a very mundane job where there is no feedback to give.
It's like
a warehouse or something. It's like, yeah, you put the things in the box, it's fine. You're
killing
it.
You can do it a little faster.
Yeah, bathroom breaks are a bit long, but other than that.
My advice to this person would be this. Don't ask anymore. Don't ask ever again. And also, it's not your job to solicit your own feedback so much. If that's the boss's job, the responsibility, the heavy crown of a boss is that they have to tell you this unsolicited. And if you're doing a bad job, it's their job to tell you. So if they're not telling you, don't do their job for them.
1,000%. And also, you're putting yourself on their radar.
Yeah.
By always asking for that. And you're probably being annoying.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually really annoying to constantly have to, like give people feedback, like, when you don't think that they need it. Like, the bosses are being dicks about it and never saying, like, good job.
Right.
Like, that part sucks. But, like, just trust you're doing a good job. And, like, because the other part is very fucking annoying, and you will eventually, like, when your bosses start thinking, they're like, who don't we like? They're like, well, there's that person that's always asking if they suck.
Oh yeah. Needy Ned.
Yeah, right. Needy Ned. Yeah,
like, and you're right. Like, you want to fly under the radar. Like, if anything, you don't even want them to know you're even there at work.
Yeah, 100%. Like, just do your job. And then,
yeah.
Like,
when I was working at 22 Minutes, where all three of us have worked, Jackie, no,
here and there,
Jackie,
remotely.
Sort of. When I worked there briefly, you know, I don't know if this is still the way, but, like, when you submit desk jokes, you just write a ton of them, print them out, mm-hmm. hand them to the head writer, and then they just read them, just power through them. But it's never like, oh, this is Jordan's joke, this is Mark's joke. They just power through them. You go around, it's supposed to be anonymous, and then maybe everyone laughs or they don't, and they just sort of throw them into a no pile or a maybe pile or a yes pile.
Okay.
Anyway, it's supposed to be anonymous, but I kind of went one step too far because I knew my jokes were bad. Oh, so no. I would just print them in a different font every week so that they couldn't actually ever be traced to me. It's anonymous, aren't they? But like, I also was like, you can't tell me I'm doing a bad job. Which ones are mine?
Like, what are you going with? Like Wingdings or like?
Yeah, totally not English.
Anonymous and indecipherable.
Yeah. No, eventually they had to ask me, could you please pick a consistent font?
We know it's you.
And I had to pretend like, I was like, oh, I thought we wanted to. Yeah. Okay.
I thought it's kind of like a code system. You're putting in like Zodiac letter, like font, like you're, like there's like code.
But it's a difficult situation for this writer to be in because you do want encouragement. And sometimes our only way of like getting encouragement is to frame it as, am I bad? Because you're just trying to hear that you're good. But I would say learn to get your own, get encouragement in your job and lessen your imposter syndrome by other avenues. Like maybe try and fish for compliments from your lowly coworkers or someone in a lower status than you.
Yeah, hire someone a needy else's man boss. Off TaskRabbit to compliment you. When he doesn't do it to your specifications, slap him on the ass with a leather glove.
Yeah.
Try a new hat.
Yeah.
Just try a different hat. See what happens.
Now, I will say that I think I'm more, I'm less, I don't know how to put this, but I think I feel like what this person is saying is more sympathetic than maybe what you were just taking away from it there, Jackie. Like, I feel like, I don't know if they're necessarily craving validation so much as like-
They're worried. They're imposter. They have an imposter syndrome.
They're worried about being fired because their work, there's something their bosses want from their work and their bosses are just not expressing that. Their bosses have just made up their minds that this person isn't working out for them. And it would be a waste of time to give feedback so that the work could possibly improve.
And so they're just having this like axe over their head.
Living with, and I can understand that anxiety. And I've also been on the other side of it where like I've been running a writing room and there's just been a writer who I'm like, this person's just a lost cause. Like no matter, no number of notes that I could give is going to like fundamentally turn this person into a, not even a better writer, but a writer who's more in line with what I need.
Oh, no. Yeah. So you're validating this person's fears now.
I am validating the fears because I think the fears are legit. I think what this person should do is make the best of this situation, but start looking for another job.
Oh, my Lord.
I literally think I agree 100% because that's exactly what I thought of when you're reading this thing where it's like, it could be a situation where it's like, either you're doing great and you need to get over the imposter syndrome, which is easier said than done. Or it might, it truly might not be working. And the reason they're not saying anything is because, like sometimes you're in a situation where you're like, damn, this is not going to work. And what am I going to be like? My constructive feedback is you're not good and you're fucked.
There comes a point where it's like the constructive feedback is so big that it's just like, what's the best case scenario here? I destroy someone's confidence?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm just going to have to be mean and it's not going to help.
Yeah. The other thing also, just side note, I'm a terrible boss because of the aforementioned lack of ability to have a confrontation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I shouldn't be anyone's boss.
If these bosses are worth their salt as a boss,
they
give you at least one serious feedback or talking to or criticism before cutting you loose.
100%, but it is... From the thing, it sounds like they have, and it hasn't been satisfying.
It hasn't been like, satisfying for them.
What did she say? We don't have to go back into it, but it is like, it does also sound like, man, this podcast is really fun.
Is that sarcastic?
No, this is really fun.
Yes.
To really analyze someone's like thing.
This is the first podcast guest we've had
who have met
our internal needs
for
validation. And we've cried at Mike Bellazzo.
We've asked
him, do you have any feedback?
We've had him on twice.
Oh, that's so funny.
We even had to write a letter to ourselves about it.
This one was crafted by me, and Mike is my boss.
And is it weird that we refer to our guests as our bosses? Yes. Obviously, it's not ideal.
Weirdly enough, I love it.
We're so glad. What did she say? That's dangerous, isn't it? We're assuming this is a female.
I think we all did.
I did try to check myself on
that's
that.
Bad.
Yes.
I did. Even though I just want to say a side note and then I'll read you the piece that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. I also have imposter syndrome, as I feel like almost everyone working in comedy does.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I also have a very good detector for when I'm being mistreated.
Yes.
And when something's weird. Uh-huh. And now do I catastrophize and magnify it based on my imposter syndrome? Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. But I also think if you sense something's wrong, it's probably something
you do
wrong.
Have to yes. trust your instincts 100%. Sometimes.
Unless you've got a history of being wrong all the time. So maybe just look inside.
And in that case, you're lucky you've got a job at all.
Yeah. Yes. It might not be as bad as this person thinks, but I would be surprised if there wasn't something.
Definitely something wrong, yes.
I have the feeling, what do you want to hear, all of it?
I just want to see the part about, like, have they given someone and was unsatisfactory?
They never give me critical feedback, even though I've explicitly asked multiple times for critical feedback. I don't want to just keep asking over and over, but I really sense there's an issue they're not telling me about, and I'm worried they're just going to fire me without giving me a chance to do better. So yeah, I don't think this is a person looking for validation. I think this is a person who's like, please don't fire me. What can I do better?
Yes.
Right.
So yeah, like it definitely has, that's tough. I mean, I think you're right, Mark, where it is like a question of like, do your best, make the best of the situation, but also keep in mind where maybe keep an eye out while the labor market is still hot.
Keep an eye on it, but also like don't say anything else. I would just try and fly under the radar.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the bosses might be bad at confrontation. Milk it. Let them have to do the work.
Keep going
as long as you can.
You could do something to really draw the attention to a coworker.
Yeah, sabotage like, a coworker. Sabotage and get the spotlight a coworker. On them.
Like,
yes.
If to quote the movie, what's that movie where Rob Lowe really corrupts James Spader? Bad influence.
Wow,
Stefan's an encyclopedia.
So James Spader's ready to just take his coworker's abuse lying down, but Rob Lowe teaches him that the best way to move ahead is to physically threaten and then follow up on those threats.
Oh, with physical violence?
With violence.
Ooh, I have to see this movie. I'm very petty. I'm very vengeful. And
oh, you're
going to
love it.
I have anger issues.
And there's no comeuppance. James Spader does all this stuff, and then he's a king at the end, and the credits roll, and we are the champions. No, just kidding.
It's
a morality.
I did love that.
I know,
but that's true. That is the hidden ingredient that could really change all of his violence. Let's introduce some violence to the situation and then get back to it.
Yeah, let's see if your bosses are a little more eager to share when they've got a fucking gun to
grab them by the lapels and shake the criticism out of them.
This might not be the first time I give this, the last time I give this advice in this podcast, but have you heard of a pistol whipping?
Now, I know what you're thinking. Gun, oh, that's so final. Yeah. No.
Not a whipping.
You treat the gun like...
Like a clubbing thing.
Like a mallet.
Yeah.
Like an easy to hold mallet that might go off. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
great.
I think we've given some good contradictory and possibly career damaging advice.
Yeah.
But there you
go. Definitely, I think stop asking is good advice.
Stop asking and keep your head down and just milk that job for as long as you can.
Okay. Let's do a shorter question and see if it inspires an even longer response. How does someone get over their infatuation with someone who doesn't like them?
Oh my Lord.
You gotta strike out so fucking hard. You just gotta go for it and then you get fucked.
Like you yourself strike out so that there's so much shame that you don't even approach them, then you know that the bridge is burned?
Yeah.
Wow, that is that's
real
bleak
answer.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. But we like bleak around
here. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I don't even mean go shoot your shot and
positive.
Then get hurt.
You're
and
right.
then.
And what's the worst case is that you get hurt.
And then it'll probably be fine. It'll be fine.
You are assuming that this person hasn't already shot their shot many, 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 many,
right,
many
yeah.
illegal number of times.
Okay.
Well, like harassment.
It's true. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the fun of these questions is we don't have all
we
the
don't
details.
Don't have a lot of context. Yeah.
So we can just assume. And project.
And this is my advice.
Attack.
You have to find, if it doesn't become apparent to you naturally, you have to find the ick.
Ooh, find the ick about them.
Yeah.
But doesn't that
and
mean you're diving
is.
More into your obsession?
Maybe,
like, is
but,
it there?
But it's kind of
but
like
But you're
a,
using your obsessive
for
quality
good.
For good.
For a way out.
It's like Batman going so deep into his darkness that he learns how to beat the Joker.
Oh,
there
I
you
understand.
Go.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So you're saying spray paint their characteristics on your floor.
First of all, get rich from family.
Yeah.
Have a big floor.
Inherent billions.
The kind of floor that only a maniac would spray paint.
So find the ick.
Yeah, there's got to be something somewhere. Like if you're infatuated with this person, you're probably seeing them a lot, spending a lot of time with them, right? Like you're probably kind of have some kind of intimate knowledge of their mannerisms and whatever. Like I think it's pretty easy to like at least pick something that you kind of like don't love. Because when we're infatuated with someone, we're kind of, our perception of them is really colored by that infatuation. Try and step out of your infatuation as much as you can and see them very like, what's the word I'm looking for? Objectively.
Yeah.
And find something gross about them and then focus on it. Yeah. Don't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, take a nice look at their teeth. Really get in there.
Yeah.
What kind of color are we talking?
Yeah, steal their dental records. Set up a toilet cam. Yeah. No one looks good from that angle.
So we're saying the only way out is through.
Yeah, yeah. Through the plumbing.
And certainly no one's ever had an obsession with someone that also encompassed their flaws for which they forgave them as only an angel would. Certainly we're not pushing this person off the deep end.
I mean, I will say, to your point also, like, infatuations, it's normally about you,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Like, so it is also recognized, like, what about them are you infatuated with? And is it actually like, oh, that's something you miss about yourself or that you wish you could get from somebody else?
Absolutely.
Or like, because that's why I think shoot your shot, because it's more like you got to make that infatuation bump up against the cold, hard crust of reality.
Wow. And this is $250
fucking dollars
right
exactly.
here. This is fucking wild.
And so you bump it up against reality and then you're like, oh, that's just another person on the other side of this. This isn't the answer to all my problems or like where happiness lies. So that's why I think shooting your shot is good, unless you already have, but bump it up against reality and see what happens afterwards.
Wow. We should say that Jordan was reading what he just said off of a scroll of silk.
Yeah, I was reading it. I was,
no,
reading,
he was
lined
reading it off
with
of
gold.
One of those algorithm T-shirts.
No, they're all like, incorrect. I was reading it from Brad Garrett's life story.
And you have the special edition gold hardcover.
Yeah, it's a Brad Garrett story. Hey, you know what? I don't know why I'm trying to do a Brad Garrett.
Wait, is that
the brother from Everybody Loves
Raymond? Yeah, the big ogre from Raymond.
I get him mixed up with Warburton.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it makes
There's
sense.
Some crossover
yeah.
there.
Yeah. But that's great. That's great advice. Yeah, because you know what? It's your an infatuation is like it's so what you said. It's you're holding up a mirror to yourself of something that you need or mm-hmm. something that you want to feel or like some people just get off on other people liking them, right? Like that kind of ego boost of like
I remember one time I had a crush on this girl and it was like pretty infatuated. And then there was this one night we were all like I think it was like after like a wedding or something we were all like kind of partying. And I was kind of like wanting her to stay up later with me. And she's like, what do you think's going to happen? And I was like,
ouch. Gong, gong, gong. Holy shit. Like, that's the
like,
crust.
Yeah. It's like the astral, my astral form got knocked out of my body.
Yeah. Into the nearest toilet. It got flushed.
Yeah. But it was that thing of like shattering. And it's like, oh yeah, what the fuck am I doing? What I'm building a whole narrative around this person that they don't know.
Right.
About.
They don't know about it. They're not even involved. It doesn't even hinge on them.
Exactly. She's not involved at all.
Can I tell you, I can honestly say, and maybe I'm forgetting about some instances, but I really don't think I've ever been infatuated with somebody truly that the infatuation wasn't. Uh-oh, this is where I realize I do need therapy. Yes.
Interesting.
It wasn't about yourself.
Can't wait.
That the infatuation wasn't born out of them like withholding something from me or mistreating me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jackie, we've already talked about every single woman who's ever nagged me. I've dated.
Right, right. But have
I've
you
dated
ever
dated at least once.
Yeah, have you ever been into someone so much that didn't do that to you? Because that's where my infatuation lies with me feeling like I'm not good enough to have them.
But of course, that's where infatuation comes from.
Right.
It comes from that like
withholding.
Withholding. You're building a fantasy. Like
yes.
it's something you, oh God, if only you would just give me what I want.
Yeah.
It would
or if only
this.
I could change that one thing about you, et cetera.
And again, it's your own
narrative.
Shit that you're putting on this person.
Yes. What do you think, Mark? What,
well,
what would you tell this person?
I am curious about, because Jordan told a bit of an infatuation story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell, well,
yeah,
this
please.
The closest one I have is like my great love.
Okay.
Okay, please.
Which is
that sounds really close.
But it was psychotically early. It was grade 7.
So her ex-boyfriend put his arm around me.
and we've stayed together just so I can sustain my win over this brute, this endless competition between men. It was grade 7, and she was just like my first like real girlfriend. We dated for 6 months. I've told you this, Jackie, because I was called a freeze by my friends. I was called frigid
right.
and a freeze.
Whoa.
Because all I could do was hug. I was too afraid to kiss.
Right, right. How old are you on this, sir?
Grade 7.
Okay.
And And then that's, and but I was like, oh, and then we French kissed once.
Oh, yeah.
And then my brain went to the moon.
Like, it was amazing? You loved it or you were terrified?
No, I was like, get me out of here.
Oh,
no, like, no, it was amazing. I was like, yuck. Fly me to the moon.
Yuck, this is moon stuff, right?
Looks like I found the ick. It's in her mouth.
I think I'll go back to hugging, thanks. Bit cleaner. For a powdered little fop like me. But
so
no,
French,
it was
finally.
Amazing. It was like truly like fireworks went off in my brain. And then that summer, my family went away for like 2 months. And I spent the entire time sitting by, trying to call her, leaving a message, and then sitting by the phone waiting for her to call me back.
Ooh.
Pre-cell phone technology.
Yeah.
Pre-email. And that was just like 2 months. And my dad was like, what are you doing here? Like, go outside.
Like, you don't fucking understand. The boy's by the phone again.
Yeah. And then I got back, and like 2 weeks in, she broke up with me. And then I carved into a corkboard beside my bed.
Yes.
1995 TWS OML, the worst summer of my life. I lived in the pain. Yeah. I lived in the pain, and then... I wish I could say that I learned. I think I got some good things out of it, but here's what I really took from it is to close myself off a little bit.
Ooh.
Never fully open myself up again unless challenged by a brutish ex.
So find an ex.
Find
the infatuations. That isn't. It is interesting because it is like infatuation is also weird like that because, like we like. My story was more recent and yours is older, and it's the same kind of feeling though. And what's interesting about it is a very childish kind of like attachment thing that happens.
Yes.
Like it is like fully
it's like an anxious sort of anxious attachment.
Yeah, I think so.
Because like, you're only thinking about them constantly.
Yeah.
But yeah, where do we define infatuation? Because anxious attachment can occur when you're with the person, you've got the person in the relationship. But infatuation is different because it's like, infatuation is connotes an obsession, right?
I think it's when you start building the fantasies and like narrative around this person of like, oh, like if only, like I do think like the phrase "if only," like if we could really make something special here,
yeah.
Like,
that kind
of, yeah, so like if you're cutting out pictures of the person and putting them like next to the pictures of celebrities, like,
yes,
like you got a problem.
Are you lying?
That's for the celebrity. The celebrities go on the wall. The person goes in your phone.
I will say that maybe the closest I've come to infatuation, I don't know, but like when me and
yours sounds different.
Yeah.
You're talking about a different thing, I think.
Right.
A little bit. Maybe.
But like
wrong.
Being obsessed or like not wanting to like be apart from the person. I guess that just happens when you're first together with someone. But when me and Elliot first met, we didn't spend, from the night we hooked up, we didn't spend a single night apart for like 30 nights to the point where I was like, enough. This is crazy.
But I would argue, that's probably because you were in love.
Okay, right. I'm really finding it hard to differentiate between.
You don't know what it is.
I don't really. I don't think I've experienced it.
Well, maybe you've only had it successfully, and that's nice.
Yeah.
When you can turn your infatuation into love, that's the dream that keeps ghouls and fools like this letter writer going. That's the lie that Hollywood sells.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is, and what is a podcast if not not an arm of Hollywood? Like these people, we see all these movies about infatuation paying off. Like the King of Comedy. Yeah. Or a Jerry Lewis obsessed comedian.
Yes.
Successfully kidnaps his idol and threatens his life.
Oh my God. I mean, truly though, like I remember thinking like, watching like Almost Famous and being like, that's going to be me. I'm going to be so infatuated with a groupie at one point.
Oh, you were the kid.
Oh, I was the kid. I was the kid. Oh, yeah. I project myself onto the kid so much.
I was like, which band member were
you? Yeah.
Oh, you were the little
I love
twerp.
that was the limit of your projection of yourself was the kid that wasn't getting
No,
any.
I was the gay drummer.
I haven't seen that in a long time. The drummer was gay?
One of them, you know, when they think the plane's going to crash, it's a pretty good gag.
Well, when it comes to drummers, that wouldn't stop me.
Okay, those are two good answers, and I hope that we helped some people. And now it's time for our final segment.
Okay.
Ooh.
Here's what we have. We have a celebrity question. So,
okay.
Without further ado.
Yeah.
Dear Jackie, I recently came upon a way to clone dinosaurs out of amber, so I want to make a big park out of that. I'm thinking I'll open it on an island, and then the first people I'll invite to check it out will be some scientists, a lawyer, and of course my two young defenseless grandchildren. Is this all a good idea, or am I doing hubris again? Yeah. Signed, John Hammond.
Interesting.
So we're talking about
the John Hammond.
The John Hammond, yes. From Jurassic Park fame. We've seen the film. We know how his decision played out.
Yeah. Mm.
So presumably he's asking to do it again.
Yes. Has it? What's the context of this question?
Yeah.
Has he tried this many times?
This is the problem with final segment. We keep changing the rules.
Yeah. We're never clear on it.
Well, I would say back to the infatuation thing. Jurassic Park is an example of why you need to, like, that's what happens.
Reel it in.
You're putting your infatuation into the hard crust of reality.
Yes.
And now these dinosaurs are trying to eat your nieces and
nephews. Yeah.
Career obsession. Yeah. Hubristic sort of, we talk a lot about characters in fiction who are driven by a kind of God-destroying pride.
Yes.
Like an Ahab or a Doubtfire.
And those are the only ones we ever talk about. All we do is discuss the Ahabs and Doubtfires.
Oh my God, I never thought of his kids being the whale.
I think getting away with it is the whale.
Oh.
Look, the whale is
in God's eyes, it would be impossible to get away with this scheme.
Right.
All right, let me take this back to the drawing board.
Whatever the whale is always in deep flux with this
segment.
Right,
of course, of course.
But in this case, it's pretty obvious that the park itself is the whale.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, it's the impossible dream that everything about this screams John Hammond should not do this.
Right. My advice would be, go ahead and do it. What an amazing technology you found. How about you just make one small dinosaur, you freak? One only small dinosaur, and that's enough to make you millions and millions.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you hear about Jurassic Park and you're like, yes, sick, let's go. I will drop $40,000 to go see this park, and then you get there and it's only the small ones, I'm pissed.
Okay, but you don't have to have it on a giant island. Think about all the overhead that you would cut.
Well, where are we putting
it? You'd act so much overhead by not having to have it on a whole island in Hawaii. Why don't you just make that and have it at the Rogers Center, like adjacent to the aquarium? One dinosaur.
Maybe. Oh, I would pay top dollar to see a small dinosaur at the Rogers Center.
Yeah, look at, oh my God, he really is small in that little cage down there.
Yeah, just the one.
They're throwing the first pitch at him?
Well, we do have the African lion safari. Maybe we just expand a little bit.
That's it. Yeah, you just need a little land outside of the
just
city
like
center.
Just like near Hamilton.
Right off of, like right near the 200 exit.
Yes, exactly. Never quite sure where that place is.
Yeah, it's definitely between here and driving to Guelph.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's before Guelph?
Yeah, it's before Guelph.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like what we're describing here is the difference between the Frankenstein story and the Jurassic Park story. Like we want, the Jurassic Park story is basically that Dr. Frankenstein made one successful guy and then before anything else made 100 more.
100 of them.
And opened a big park.
And bought so much land.
It's true.
Opened the gift shop everything.
Where if anything, we've learned from the Frankenstein story that one can be bad enough.
One is bad enough.
If you socially ostracize him and you make him afraid of fire, you've just created a Columbine.
I also love it if there's a park of Frankensteins and they have to feed him little girls he throws in.
Is that what his thing was?
He does that once. There's like a mice and men thing.
There's a little thing there. Yeah.
But he doesn't eat her. he loves her, but he doesn't know how to show her affection.
Oh, yeah, I see. But you could have told me he eats her. I would have believed you. I haven't read it. Yeah.
Frankenstein is good.
Yeah.
Frankenstein, right. Society is bad.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, society
and
is
Dr.
bad.
And Dr. Frankenstein's hubris is bad.
Right. Yes. And there's a lot of bad society in Jurassic Park, too. And Jurassic Park 1.
Is there? Oh, because
there's like greedy people.
Oh,
like
well, this
Newman
is what it
is.
Greedy. Yeah, this is a thing where you just actually have to vet your employees. Better.
Yes,
this is everything would have been fine if it wasn't for Newman.
Yeah, don't hire Newman.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if your guy's got a catty screensaver, we know now, red flag.
Red flag.
Huge red flag.
Yeah. Like if your guy is so, if you've got a team of eight and one is so transparently not a team player.
Yeah,
it's true. Like,
if he wears his conniving greed on his sleeve.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
On his Hawaiian shirt.
Or at least downgrade his access.
Because he didn't seem excited about the dinosaurs at all.
No.
And you want a team of people excited for
That's
these
right.
dinosaurs.
Excited, professional.
Yeah.
Their desks were tidy.
They very were, other than, yeah.
Here's an abomination at the African Lion Safari. I remember going as a kid. And then this big, shaggy, unwell-looking bison approached our car.
Bisons are always a rough watch at the zoo. You're like, what? So patchy. Yeah, what the hell's going on with you? Covered in bugs?
Like, hey, can I bum a smoke?
Yeah, they're really...
For sure wanted smokes.
They're really the unglamorous animal. It's pretty rough, a bison.
Really rough. Yeah. And he came up to the car, slow gait, this slow kind of troubling gait. And he approached the back window where me and my brother were, and we were like, oh my God, oh my God. And he came right up to the window and looked in the window... and passed us through our souls and was gazing out the other window, out the side of the other window, which he could have been gazing at from around the car. He's just like, and we're like, anyway, just, hey, Dad, you can keep driving.
A 1,000-yard stare on Absolutely. A bison that recently lost custody of its kids.
Yeah, totally. They are the fly strip of animals. Like, if you took down one of those sticky fly strips, that's a bison.
That is a poor bison.
Yeah, they're just like covered in like, there's always chunks of fur missing.
They're molting. They're shedding. Yes.
On the opposite end, we've got yaks and those Highland cows at the High Park Zoo.
Oh, we love them.
Bangs.
Nice. Yes.
We love a They're mountain nice. Cow with bangs.
Bangs. They've got almost like kind of a shag.
They've got a shag. Yeah, they look like mop top, sort of Liverpudlians.
Uh-huh. Yes, they're mods.
They're mods. All right. So I guess, do we have any final advice for John Hammond on his park?
Yeah,
we
go ahead and do it, but just take it easy. You don't have to go so big
Start
so fast.
Start slow. Scale up to your means.
Yeah.
See if it works with a couple of dinos first before you jump into the full
herbivores
park. Herbivores critically
rent some space. You don't have to buy a whole island immediately,
and most importantly, vet your staff.
Vet your staff. And if you're the filmmaker of a movie about this, no one gives a fuck about how you got into the magic of movies, you dumb piece of
Oh, we're finally getting into some Andy Fableman slander. My friends cannot understand why I don't want to see Meet the Fablemans.
Meet the Fablemans.
Is that what it's called?
It's called The Fablemans, but I think his last name is Fableman in the movie, which is bad.
It's the new Spielberg movie, Jack.
But why is
it's
it?
It's autobiographical. And
I didn't
it's
know
about
that.
Him as a kid and how like movies helped him get through his adolescence, which to me is the worst. I hate movies about that.
Is it Jesse Eisenberg?
No, but it's anti-Semitic. You thought that.
No, but Jesse Eisenberg's in a new movie right now.
He's in a show. It's called like Fleischman in Trouble. This is
off topic. Sorry, I mixed up Fableman and Fleischman.
That actually checks
out. That sounds anti-Semitic thing to do as well, is mix those
I think that one's okay, actually.
Okay, phew.
Nothing's as bad as your Kanye did nothing wrong. That's what's wrong.
You've got your Murdoch mystery shirt. I've got mine. We've got different shirts. Yeah. It's fine.
That's right. My shirt is at the very least, or at worst, anti-vax.
This is true. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's time to wrap things up.
That was so fun.
It's so fun. Please check out Jordan Foisey.
Yes.
Doing comedy around town. And is there anywhere they can find you online, Jordan?
I guess just follow me on Twitter, though I don't really tweet anymore, but follow me on Twitter.
Follow him to see his profile picture on Twitter.
Yeah,
Jordan
Foisey. I got a great profile picture. And I guess watch this hour has 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Jordan's the head writer now, so anything you don't like,
you
can write to
pin
him.
On him.
It's fully my responsibility.
And of course, please do write your questions to us still. We give you good advice at Jackie Pirico.
That's right. Thank you to our producer, Stefan.
Thank you, Stefan. And thank you, Jordan.
Thank you. This is really fun.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
And farewell. And be well.
And be well.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network. Sonar!